1 through verse 18. Those who can and will stand in honor of the Lord and His Word. 6:11 of Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray that you would take it, use it to speak to us and to draw us to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. His people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I really hope you don't like this message. The reason being is because when I preached it to me, I didn't like it. And I hope you're equally convicted. I talked to a lady tonight that said every time I said something, I was looking at her like she was the only person in this whole auditorium. And so now I'm avoiding looking at her at all. Just me and Eric here. She said that every time that I brought this out about using your gifts and ministering to him, I was looking straight at her. And it really wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit of God looking straight at her. And her stubbornness, resistance, rebellion. Anyway, the Lord used the word to get across to her what he would have her to do. Well, so I hope you're equally convicted tonight, because praying is an area that Satan always attacks in my life. And there's several areas that he will attack in, and one of them is prayer, and the other one is studying the Word of God. And whenever you seek to do one of those two, it seems like something will always happen that Satan will try to distract us from either our prayer life or our time getting into the Word of God. And we talk a lot about prayer. It's foundational in the Christian church. So we talk a lot about prayer, but do we pray a lot? You know, therein is the difference, whether we're talking about it or whether we're actually doing it. Well, it's a big problem. And if we have a big problem, we ask somebody to pray for us. And usually that's because we've exhausted everything else. We've tried everything that we know to do. And so now, would you pray for me? You know, I have this need, this problem. Or when somebody shares with us that they have a problem, well, let me pray for you. And that's wonderful if we do. But sometimes we make this commitment, if you will, to pray for them, and we don't pray for them. Now, early on, before I even went into the ministry, I was a salesman for McCormick Spices. And I've never forgot this. I was in Food City number 3 on South Cross. How's that for a memory? For a guy that's just had a birthday and can't remember what he had for breakfast, or even if he had breakfast. But I was in Food City number 3, and I met a friend of Neil and I. Can't remember his name now, but... Make it up. Okay. Bill. Neil, help me. Anyway, Bill Wiggins. Yeah, you see. He's gone now, so he doesn't feel bad about me not remembering his name. But anyway, met him in a good Christian. He was the last person that ever ran the old honky-tonk roundup on Pat Booker Road. And when the Lord saved him, he walked out, didn't even clear out the register. He just went on to serve the Lord. And he had fingers about this big around. And I said, well, what's Bill doing? They said, well, he's making the jails. I said, a lot of those guys don't want to listen about the Lord. He said, have you ever seen Bill's hands? He said, they'll listen to him about the Lord. Well, we were in the cereal aisle of Food City number 3 on South Cross. And Bill said, how you doing, Butch? And I said, well, I wish you'd pray for me about such and such. He said, okay, let's do it right now. And he said, let's just kneel down right here. In the cereal aisle of Food City number 3 on South Cross? No. I mean, and here we were, you know. And Bill, somebody made the statement that said, I love to go eat with Brother Butch because if it's time to eat, he says, dear Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. You know, and we can get on about eating. Bill never got the subscription to that magazine. He knelt down there and he started to pray for me. And I mean, he prayed. And he prayed, and he prayed, and people would be coming up and down the aisle, and I heard them talking, and I heard the buggies going down the aisle, and I'm thinking, God, what are they thinking here? And after about 20 or 30 minutes, I guess I got into the spirit, and I was ready to pray. Then I didn't even care, you see. But sometimes we resist. And we fight against this matter of prayer. And we say, well, I'll pray for you. Well, Bill actually did it that day. And so now if you'll notice, if somebody will say, I wish you'd pray for me about this, I said, let's step over here and let's pray right now. Because we don't need to put it on a to-do list that we don't to do. Well, it's interesting in a church that so desperately needs prayer and so desperately needs evangelism, because we either evangelize or we fossilize, you know, that those are the two least attended events that we have in the entire church. Our prayer time and our time to leave our comfortable nest and to talk to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me move past that, lest you get convicted. But verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Big on all, isn't it? Well, being watchful means being sleepless in prayer. You know, sometimes we may go to sleep saying prayers or praying, but this is talking about being sleeplessness in prayer. In other words, nothing more important than me getting alone with the Heavenly Father and praying. Probably the greatest weakness in the church today is demonstrated by our prayerlessness. We're in a battle that we don't always realize. We're in a battle for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And we need constant overcoming prayer. Fervent prayer. Pray without ceasing, the scripture says. And I ask myself the question, how often am I praying for other people's salvation? Now, we may have a prayer list, and we're praying for various needs, and certainly we need to, for surgeries coming up and for trauma that's taken place in various lives, and health issues and financial issues and all of these things. But how often do we pray for someone's salvation? You know, the reason we don't see more people saved is because the Bible says they that go forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again, bringing their sheaves with them. It's a burden. It's a concern. Well, why do we need purposeful praying? Is one, we need to realize that we've got a supernatural enemy. It's not me against somebody else like me. You know, years ago, when Keith was in college, we started sharing some things, and he said, "Dad, when you graduated from high school, that's all a guy needed, was a high school education." And he said, "You were competing for the other guys in your town." And like in little old Marion, I mean, there were so few jobs. I mean, I had one of them. This one will make you... it was shoveling grain in those great big grain silos. I mean, we're talking in the summer, and just like heat we've got now. And we jump down into there, shovel that grain to the sides, crawl back out of it, and everything... Let down some more grain. They'd let down the grain, and it'd come up like a scoop like this. They'd shut it down. We'd get in there, and everything that could itch did itch. But, my goodness, we got 75 cents an hour, and it was one of the few jobs that were out there, and so we thanked the Lord that we had it. There were not that many jobs to be had. Well, Keith said, you competed with guys in your town, that area. He said, now the competition is worldwide. It's not just in town or in the state or in the United States. It's in the world. And so that's where the competition is. Well, to realize that we're battling a supernatural enemy, not just the guy next door. A supernatural enemy, and believe it or not, the devil is cunning. The devil is powerful. He's always at work. He never takes a day off. And he's always seeking to defeat and to destroy the children of God. Always. Our only weapon is persistent prayer and God's word. That's it. That's all we need, but it's everything that we do need. Verse 12 says, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Sometimes we center that on an individual. Have you ever said, that person made me so mad? I have to grit my teeth when I say that. I've done it so often. That person made me so mad. I don't even have to move my teeth, just my lips. And really, it's not the person that's made us mad. It's us that have allowed ourselves to get mad. We've allowed Satan to take an area and to exploit it, and we center in on an individual or individuals rather than recognizing the enemy. The enemy is not our brothers and sisters in Christ is not some individual. It's Satan himself, is what the Scripture says. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, that's why Paul says that to protect ourselves, we have to put on the whole armor of God. And then, he goes through this and he gives us some examples. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand, to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Do you know that we can either put on the gospel armor and be able to withstand and to be able to stand, or we can get shot full of holes with the fiery darts of the wicked one? So Paul says, take on the whole armor of God. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm told that in the armor in those days protected someone as long as they were going forward, as long as they were charging. But if they turned around, their was exposed. And so when they retreated and when they began to run, they stood the possibility of getting shot full of holes with arrows. So stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. And I just thought of that. Do you remember when David, the Philistines, Goliath, was making fun of the children of Israel? And he would taunt them, and he said, isn't there a man among you? And this went on every day, and David got upset with it and told Saul. He says, I'll go out and stand for Israel and for the Lord. I mean, the Lord's let me slay a lion and slay a bear, and I'm not afraid of that guy. And Saul says, well, okay, you can wear my armor. That was big of him. And I've done that too, but anyway. And he put on this armor, and he couldn't hardly walk, because he was trusting in the armor of Saul rather than in the power of God. And so he said, I can't do this. Sheds all of that armor and has the five stones. You remember that? And the first one took the guy out, and his brothers never showed up, and so he had four extra stones to reload if he needed to. But they had their loins girt about with truth, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts. Faith really takes a lot out of the devil's game plan. Do you know it? If we by faith trust the Lord, faith that we cannot see, but yet the Bible says it's evidence. The Bible says it's substance. The things that you think you can trust, you can't trust. The things that you can't see, like faith, that's the only thing you can trust. Well, so we need to pray the word to stand strong in victory. We're to gird ourselves with truth. And that's easily said, but sometimes not easily done. To talk about girding ourselves with truth. You know, Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And there are so many people today that are in bondage, not necessarily to sin, but to tradition. something that is man-made rather than that which is God-made or God or ordained. And so, here we have Jesus' word that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Here, the truth will give you the power. So, how do we have this? Well, Ephesians 4, back up a page here. Ephesians 4, verse 22 says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, what does the Bible say about someone that's in Christ? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creation is what it's saying. And we have the power to live out this new life in Christ. And not on our own. I'm sick a little bit. But I like to see kids on a bicycle sometimes, especially the little boys. And they're going, and Dad's running along behind them, and he's holding the seat. I can do it. I can do it. Let me go. Daddy takes his hand off. Plop! I shouldn't laugh at that, should I? But they think they're doing it on our own. You know, we're no different than those little boys on a bicycle. There's a lot of times we think we can do that. That we're rowing our own boat. We're doing things on our own. And God says, you're doing it on your own. Watch this. Plop. You know. And so we need to realize that only in His might, only in His strength can we do it. We have this power, whether we'll avail ourselves to it. And then he says that we walk in peace. Walk in peace. You know, there's some people that are angry all the time. You know, I smile a lot. It's not because I'm such a happy person. It's because it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. And I'm so lazy, I just don't want to, I don't want to waste anything. So we smile, but a lot of people are angry all the time. You know, and you don't have to be around them a little time. And they're angry about this and they're angry about that. And the Bible says that we're to walk in peace. As much as is within you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I know there's some instances where you can't live peaceably with somebody. But you can back off. You can back away. You don't have to slug it out. As much as is within you, if it rings one more time, it's an Avon lady, would you? But as much as within us, we live peaceably. Could you sing something along with that? Yeah. It's who you are. It's who you are. But to live peaceably with all men. You know what happens when you don't live peaceably? You know who it bothers? Yourself. It affects us more than it does anybody else. You know. I had one lady, let me see, 40 years I've had one lady that was upset with me. Let me get away from the pulpit. And it had to do with her daughter. she went home and told her mother that I said her parents sure didn't raise her right. They weren't fit parents. That is not anywhere near what I said. I said, honey, somewhere we have failed you. We being the church. In that we've not taught you what is biblical and what is not. This lady held a grudge for 3 years. 3 years. Some people hold it, I know, longer than that. But one lady told me, said, she's just upset because you said she wasn't a fit parent. I said, what? So when I knew that, I went and talked to her and I said, I've never said that. I said, your daughter was upset because I wasn't going to marry him. She was marrying a lost man and so on and so forth. And I said, somewhere down the line, we have failed to teach you. Not you as a parent, us as a church. And she started crying and realized she'd lived in hell for 3 years with a bitter spirit because she wouldn't let go and let something, turn something over to the Lord. Walk in peace. Take up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. Now, I love prophecy, and I love talking about the return of the Lord. And I always say this is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I've got a lot of favorites, but I love 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And 1st Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 4 through 9 says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the scripture is divided between us and them. Not Baptists and Presbyterians or Church of Christ and whoever else is out there. Methodists, let's use that. You know, it's talking about us and them. Saved and lost. And we're to take up the shield of faith and to live a different life than those who are outside of Christ. Amen. We're to advance with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Not only for defense, but offense as well. You know, well, I have the sword of the Spirit, and this will protect me. This will defend me. But it's not only defensive, it's to be an offensive, to take it towards the enemy, to not back up, to be militant in our faith in Christ Jesus. Advance with the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is like a sharp, two-edged sword. You know, sometimes wives or husbands don't reach their spouse is because they use the Word of God as a club rather than a sword. And the Bible makes a tremendous sword, but it makes a mighty poor club. You've been doing that, haven't you, somebody out there? But if we insert the Word of God, it'll do its own cutting. Amen. Right. You know, it's like a sharp scalpel. You don't have to beat somebody with it. You just insert it. It'll take care of the cutting. Amen. you know. All right, praying always in the Spirit. That's what the Scripture says in verse 18. And I had to ask myself, do I always pray in the Spirit? No. I can stand behind the pulpit and say, no, I don't always pray in the Spirit. Should I always pray in the Spirit? Yes. I should always pray in the Spirit. But sometimes the flesh and the Spirit war against each other. The old Indian said, I had two dogs that lived within me. I have a white dog and a black dog. And they said, well, which one is the boss? He said, whichever one I say sick 'em to. You know, and sometimes we let the flesh have its way. Well, we pray the word to be watchful and to persevere. You know, Jesus even prayed before the crucifixion to be able to persevere. He was very God, but he was also very man. And he prayed, Lord, you know, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Help me to persevere, Heavenly Father. And so, what an example for us. You remember when Jesus took his closest disciples and they went to the garden to pray? He said, can you pray with me a little while? Yeah, we'll pray for you. He comes back and they're asleep. You know. Comes back, they're still asleep. Finally, he just says, sleep on. You know, go ahead. And some of us go to sleep before we're through. It's kind of like the little boy that they put him in bed. About 2 or 3 hours later, they heard something go kaboom. And Daddy went in there, and the little boy's laying on the floor. And he said, well, what happened to you? He said, I guess I went to sleep too close to where I got in. And I think that's what some of us do. We go to sleep too close to where we got in. All right, Romans 13, verse 11. It says, and that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Jesus puts an emphasis on prayer. Work harder means to pray harder. 25 times at least in the New Testament, Jesus is seen as praying, as separating himself and coming before the Heavenly Father. The scripture that is so near and dear to a lot of us, 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That's what we need. Amen. Today. We need to pray. Now, we have a time, after every service, a time of invitation. A time of soul seeking, if you will. And to ask ourselves, have I made that commitment to the Lord? Have I received him as my personal Savior and Lord? If I were to die tonight, do I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'd be with the Lord? Because of what the Scripture says, that I've received him as my Savior? And then we need to move on that decision. We stand at the front. Whoever's up here stands there, or I stand there, to receive those that the Holy Spirit calls. Maybe those who have accepted the Lord may come to identify with Christ in believer's baptism. Maybe others who are saved and identified want to plant their life in the life of Christ's church. Still others may need to surrender to special service. And how many of us here need to make a commitment to prayer? Let's stand and pray. Father, we do thank you for your word today. And Lord, how it convicts my heart. And Lord, to be able to pray purposefully. In other words, not just go through the motions, but Father, to pray with purpose and to pray with power that comes from you. And so, Father, tonight, with this many people, there's got to be a decision that needs to be made for you. And Lord, you know it. All heaven waits for it. Father, we just need to surrender and to let go and to let you have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.